Who are you?
Dreams and determination.
That's beautiful. You've thought about this before.
I have not.
You have not?
I have not.
Okay. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit more about dreams and determination. When did the dreams, like, I mean, I know a bit about your backstories, so I don't want to, you know, kind of jade the conversation. I want it to come up naturally, but like, where does that come from is probably the question I should ask you.
I mean, Mark, don't we all dream? Don't we all start by dreaming? As kids, that's what we do. We imagine, we dare to imagine ourselves. And that's what I call dreaming in a way. And determination, I think, you know, my mother, I can't believe I'm saying this. This is the first time I'm sharing this, I promise. My name, my mother was going to call me, I think, Vanessa.
Okay.
And the story goes, and my mother is not one who exaggerates, by the way, at all. She is not a storyteller in that aspect. Apparently, I came out and I screamed, Natasha! My name.
So, that's amazing.
And I could feel it. Sometimes I overwhelm myself. But that's what I think, if I had to describe what that force is, it's perhaps determination, which
no kidding.
So
wow, that's so interesting. Just knowing a bit of the work that you do, and that'll be maybe my next question. We could just kind of describe a little bit of what you're putting out into the world, and then I'll come back to how that all originated. But I think people will realize pretty quickly that tracks, that makes sense. Dreaming, determination, and literally your first sound, your name, and kind of yelling that out. It's like you can feel that energy from any conversation I've at least had with you. I mean, we just recently met, but I would describe you as inspiring, you know, like authentic inspiration. So it's just, yeah, tell us a little bit about what you do. And I've got a bunch of questions from there.
Sure. Before that, I just want to share that I feel like I've been stamped by the Mark Champagne. You know, we need like this, this branding, like authentically inspiring Mark Champagne.
I love it. Product extension over here. Here we go. A first, an exclusive here on the show with Natasha.
What was your question, Mark? Sorry, we got sidetracked.
What is it that, you know what? I have a quote from you. Maybe this will help with that question, actually. I wrote down, you said this, I believe the second chapter of this century will be led by the creatives. Mm. What did you mean by that?
In a time when the technological skills are at the tip of our fingers, quite literally. The problem is no longer technical. It is a visioneering. It's an imagining problem or challenge. And I think we're placing a lot of weight, pun intended, on for example, AI, when I think the real question and what we should focus more on is how do we stretch our imagination? How do we become more creative? What are the tools in that toolbox to get the creative juices flowing? Right. And I think in that aspect, those who give themselves permission to be more creative or to just be creative or to think creatively, might be at an advantage.
And where do the arts fit into this?
That's a loaded question. That's a loaded question. In what aspect, Mark?
Well, I think, you know, this is just me, of course, but it's almost like, it's like we see the arts separate from everything that we do in a way. You know, it's like there's theater, there's a show, there's a movie, there's a spectacle, there's something, you know, and it's like an entertainment or a way to, you know, to be with friends and loved ones and so forth and share an experience. But I'm not sure there's that many people that actually, excuse me, combine that experience and that feeling or that inspiration with other things that they're doing in their lives, which I feel like this is what you're trying to do with bringing theater and the arts to space and in other capacities to inspire. And, you know, as a, not just one group, like as a global collective, like, let's think bigger, let's think possibility in a world that feels so scared and uncertain, given a lot of the technology you just mentioned.
I completely agree with you. And and if we had to go back to the foundation of it, I think being human is an art form. Right?
Yeah.
And so there's an art in everything that we do. That to me is that is an interesting question, is how can you perfect, or how can this act, how can this task become a work of art, or how do you find the art out of this one thing that may be otherwise that feel maybe grueling, or I don't like to do that. And I agree with you too that we've boxed up the many dimensions of the arts in sort of these quaint, cute, entertaining what is the word I'm looking for? Help me out, Mark. You know, assets almost, like, right?
Yeah.
But in fact, if we're really paying attention, the art is embedded in our day-to-day lives. From the music we listen, to the clothes we wear, to the colors we choose, to the books we read, to the stories we tell, or the movies we watch.
Well, it's everything. And it's, you know what really got me when I heard you speak, and let's fill in some details quickly so the audience knows what we're talking about here. But when I heard you speak about why it was important to bring or be thinking about bringing the arts to space, given we're speaking about having, you know, bases and societies there at one point and so forth, what really stood out for me was that, it's a huge problem if we just go to a place without any kind of art or any kind of career, like that whole category. Because then if you think of just how the world has been created, to your point, like song and music and cathedrals and sculptures and all of this kind of stuff, like, we can't forget about that. It's a huge equation. But I don't think, you know, you think of things like space and where we're at, and it almost feels so far out, but it kind of isn't that far out. And it takes time, I think. Like, I don't know of a production company other than you that is, you know, that is working on, like, how do we do this in another environment, right? How did you even get there? Like, explain what I'm talking about so people know, have some background, because I just jumped right in, of course.
You did. So, yes, I founded Space Wonders, the first theatrical company for space. And the premise is we need to start training artists for space environments, and we need to start developing the new works we will experience and partake in space. Right. And we also need to democratize space, make space a cultural and global conversation. As of today, less than 700 people have gone to space. Right.
Yeah.
And in our lifetime, you know, not many people will. So let's bring those experiences that we create in microgravity to be clear to your listeners here. We are not in space just yet. We are developing this work aboard a plane, an aircraft that flies a parabolic profile in the sky. So imagine like a roller coaster profile in the sky. And essentially, we're free falling at the speed of the aircraft, which is what creates weightlessness. So capturing the work aboard that aircraft and then presenting it on Earth as theatrical films, immersive installations, experiential content. And this is not a stunt. This is not for the likes on social media. This has been a long, long journey. So theater really runs in my DNA. I've been performing since I was 5 years old. This is my obsession and my passion and my medium of expression. And you probably can tell because I know I'm very animated.
Yes.
Just naturally. And I also, I was, as much as I loved theater, I very quickly understood I wasn't sold on the conventions of theater. I think I was a contrarian at heart. I still am, right? This idea that it's a play and it has to be, you know, spoken, and then it's in a proscenium, and then there are curtains, and then it ends at this, and you have three acts, and right, all of these conventions that didn't make much sense. What I really loved and what I understood from the get, even at 6 years old performing for my grandparents and family, was this extraordinary space we found each other in, right? When you're performing and the audience is sharing this moment with you, it's like we're in a sort of spaceship in a way, right? We're propelling ourselves into another dimension and we're suspending our disbelief. I'm going to say suspending our disbelief again because this is such a powerful mechanism. I don't think we do that enough. Just suspend your disbelief. You know, when we're having conversations, we take things so personal instead of, well, what if we suspended our disbelief for a second? Anyway, so I found this modality really, really powerful. I couldn't articulate it at the time, of course. It's in hindsight that I'm able to think about it more clearly. And so started breaking the conventions as soon as I could really get my hands on crafting my own experiences. So I've been sort of pioneering a new genre in the performing arts field, incorporating technology on stage, synchronizing computer-generated images, creating out of this world sort of experiences that are very cinematic and musical. And then in parallel, always said, one day I will create shows for space, because it's the ultimate frontier, you know? And I think I was chasing the poetry of it like we do often. It was not
literal. But when did
you
first think about this? Like, do you remember where you were, what the environment was when you're like, space?
You know, it's The Little Prince. I just came back from Switzerland and we discovered an exhibit of The Little Prince. It was so moving. When I was very young, I forget how young, in the 6, 7 years old, I was gifted the cassette tape of The Little Prince. And I played it alone in my room nonstop to the point that I memorized the entire book. And then I later read the book, but it was the Little Prince came to me in audio form. And it was the most magical experience. And I didn't realize it up until a couple of years ago how much that story has shaped me and it almost has attuned my own sensibility and poetry. Wow. And almost, it's almost like it was a map, you know?
Yeah. And is that, so when it comes to thinking about doing this in space, like was that, what was it? What was it about? Like that idea.
I mean, the moment I started producing my own work and really realizing I am a showmaker. This is what I do, and this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. It was clear that what's next? Because I like to ask myself those things, like, what if, what next? And I was like, well, space. We got to create shows for space. And then throughout the years, for 15 years now, I've been building on this space training and space education, which is ongoing. I am not a scientist, but I am part of profound and meaningful scientific communities. And I'm learning a lot. And so training at NASA Johnson Space Center and NASA Ames, and completed MIT's New Space Economy Program. And I'm a co-founding member of a space food startup. If you believe it or not, we were awarded for the second time by NASA. We're building a duckweed protein supplement dispenser. So we're essentially growing duckweed for space. So,
This. So your artists will be well nourished.
Yes, exactly.
I see the link. So Natasha, though, like what gives you the confidence and the belief to just go for it with something so big? Like, you've been working in this space for 15 or so years, like you said. I mean, even present day feels like, and there's a lot of advancement over the last even 3 to 5 years, right? Where it's like, wow, it feels like there's some big things going on. But 15 years ago, I mean, I can't imagine anyone saying anything remotely close to what you're talking about, like, hey, let's bring the arts to the space. Like, how can we do that? And so forth. And it just feels for me like it takes someone with just such unwavering belief in their craft and their talent, and not from an egocentric standpoint. That's not, I don't think I get any of those vibes from you, but purely from, I think, from a creation and creativity and inspiration standpoint. But like, what keeps you alive and going to actually do that and keep the dream alive?
You know, your interpretation is almost too much for what it actually is. And I think for me, it's, yes, I mean, I'll take it. It sounds damn good.
Okay.
But it's the muscle, it's the theatrical muscle. And I really think that if everybody should take theater courses, there's so much to gain from. And again, many lessons have been imparted or have been extrapolated from my theatrical practice and the theatrical arts at large. But again, it's this ability to world build. And it's total permission to world build. And so what I'm doing is just like this muscle now is completely, is so lubricated. It's seeped into the way that I approach life.
Yeah.
You know
it's
what
how
I mean?
You live.
Yes.
Yeah, it's how you operate, how you move.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What have you noticed with people that, I mean, there's of course people within your team, but for those who maybe first met you or wanted to invest in something that you're working on and so forth, like what really moves them? What have you noticed like gets them excited about this kind of dream and inspiration in this work?
The possibilities, the hopeful possibilities.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'm, that's a beautiful question. So this is, I will sit with this one.
Sure.
A little bit longer, because that's a very meaningful question.
Yeah, we can come back to it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
but I to your point, I think we sorry, Mark, I interrupted you.
No, I see. Go for it.
I think we're thirsty for hope. We've always been, now more than ever, and I think the idea of let's bring culture along as we evolve and grow in space, perhaps not in our lifetime, not this generation, but let's really start thinking now and developing this content for the future. You know, forget space. It's what kind of new stories do we want to tell and create? right? And if you could start from scratch and almost exist in the middle of nowhere, what would you say? Would you say anything, right? Like, what would that look like? And that's a symbolically powerful question.
Well, and I think that's what we've somewhat lost in the current society. And this is what really inspired me about your work, is it's the first time, I think, in my life, or at least my lifetime, where there was an inspiration from something that just feels so much bigger than what is currently happening. And like, I maybe this might not be the right example, but I imagine going back over 100 years, when you look at some of the giant like cathedrals in Europe and so forth, that I'm thinking of the one, I can't remember the name of the one in Spain, that, you know, it's still not built, and it's been 127 or 30 years or something like that. Like, whoever laid the first brick or worked on the first piece of art on that building had, like, sure, they're being paid or whatever the case was. So, you know, you had the work, but like, there's an inspiration behind that.
Yes.
There's a vision behind that. And I can't really think of much in our present day that even a giant building that's not up within a year or two kind of thing, you know, at this point. So this is something that you have to deploy your imagination to be like, what would that be like? And you can see some of it based on some of the movies and the videos that you've created as a team and organization of like what this could look like. But like, where will that be in space? You know, what would that? And I just think it's such a beautiful, even if it's for a few minutes, it's such a, it's like what you said, it's a, like suspending your disbelief, but also giving our minds a break from all of the stuff that's going on present day, that I feel like a great concert does. Or, you know, having lived in Montreal for a good 5 years, I mean, just seeing the first show of a Cirque du Soleil, I'm like, wow, like this is unbelievable. Nothing else matters but that moment.
That's it.
Right?
That's it. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We need more experiences that take our breath away, for sure.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And where are your challenges, like individually with let's say your mind and actually bringing this to fruition? It's not like this, I would imagine this is not like it's super easy to put together what you're building, and it's so much of it is a first, of course. I guess, is there a big challenge that you've had to overcome that comes to mind that you wouldn't mind sharing and share, you know, like how you got through that?
Like, there are two Natashas answering right now at the same time. So I'm gauging which Natasha I'm going to let her. Who's Natasha?
Yeah, let's hear them both. I like this.
The first one is like, I don't see challenges. But the second one is like, girl, there are challenges every day.
Yeah.
Every day. I think one of the greatest challenge, and perhaps my anticipation built up the challenge to be bigger than it was, but still in hindsight, it's pretty extraordinary that I've been able to carve my space, pun intended, within the space industry. And I didn't anticipate the doors to open the way they are.
Hmm.
But it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of commitment. It takes, you know, it's starting by volunteering, starting by learning, starting by, right, a lot of listening, a lot of absorbing, a lot of development, I would say. But that in and of itself, that was a challenge, and we're still at it. But it's pretty. It makes me hopeful. And I would say right now we are in in full momentum. Everything is there, and I'm in the midst of the fundraising, talking about finding the art of it. I've been thinking, you know, how do you find the art in that? Yes.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that.
Yes.
What's been working, what's not working?
I am not a transactional person. And so far everything is working. The key is, how do you convert this extraordinary momentum, these verbal agreements, these yeses, these wonderful conversations into something tangible that, yes, oh my God, dare I say, translates into money.
Yeah.
Right? I never took a business course. So but I've been my own entrepreneur for 25 years. So I'm navigating this. I can't say it's this conundrum. It's not really a challenge, but like the art of it. Like,
yeah.
When do you just be blatantly like, okay, let's talk.
Yeah. Like, are you ready to sign here?
That's right. That's right. And I think there's a cadence and there's a tempo for it. And I welcome anybody again listening who has any business advice or please reach out. I will take all the feedback you have and expertise. But I do think it's a lot of relationship building. Obviously, I know what we have. I know the experience I bring. I know the team, the extraordinary team on board, etc. We're not charlatans. This is very, very real. So I think it's also having the patience to see the cycle of a relationship and of that through.
Yeah.
I'm literally thinking about this for the first time. I hadn't verbalized this process. So thank you, Mark.
You're very welcome. But I mean, you're not, the thing is, I mean, maybe obviously unique to your current situation, but I see a lot of myself in what you're describing, and I imagine many other listeners as well. Like, I can only speak to the work that I do. But when I, like, my passion and inspiration, since you know a little bit about my work, but is to make these practices for our minds as accessible as possible. Because even if I think of the work that you're doing, it's really hard for an individual who is max stress or in a survival state of mind more days than not to dream like how we're dreaming together, even on this conversation. But if we can give our minds some more, you know, opportunities of stillness and to close our eyes and go to different places and think and ask different questions versus, you know, literally just trying to get to the end of an email inbox or whatever that reality is for those listening, and myself included, then we come up with innovations and ideas and projects that literally can change and shape society and culture. But I think it's really hard to do that from a place of max stress. So, you know, that's what's fueling me. But then the reality of the situation too is like, I have to eat and keep like the hydro running and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I speak and do other things, as you know, that have to be transactional. And yeah, it's a dance in a way almost. And it's, I don't know, for some people, I think they're like super comfortable on maybe one side of like maybe that business transaction part. I feel like I relate a little bit more with you on it, that is always kind of like trying to find the thing that feels the narrative or the angle that feels a little bit more authentically me, you know, while still, of course, moving everything forward. And the one thing I found personally helpful, and I don't know if you've ever done this kind of work, this is, I don't know this side of you, so we'll see what your perspective is, but human design, have you ever done any of that?
Tell me more. I mean, it makes sense conceptually, but I don't know much about it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not an expert in it, but I've had a couple readings or reports on my human design, which is just based on astrological, you know, dates of birth and things like that.
Oh.
And at first I was really skeptical because I'm like, oh, like, what is this? Like, is this like a horoscope or like, and, and it came through because of this podcast. I had interviewed someone that works in this space that was, you know, working on in Manhattan and had kind of like a, I forget what she was doing, but like a very normal kind of high performance job and ended up in this space and was really blown away when she saw her human design readout. And I was the same way. And I feel like anyone that gets their first report back, I mean, they're all the same report because it's not like you change your date of birth and all that stuff. But immediately, Natasha, what I felt, especially as an entrepreneur, was like a breath of fresh air. Like, that's why when I'm doing the things that everyone on the outside says, like, you need to push here or do this or do that. That energy for me, at least the way that this report is saying, is like working against me. And so there are a couple, and it gives alternatives of like how you can get to the same objectives, but using the way that you're designed to flow a little bit more seamlessly or with a little bit more grace. And I often pause to think like, okay, am I going against how I'm designed or flowing with it in a situation like this, as an example, right? Like, I have a profile. So all I would say is, if you approach it with an open mind and curiosity, I mean, there's nothing to lose. Obviously, you could get this, sure. And I'll send you a link of a place where you can get one. They're everywhere. But the best case is you're like, oh, wow, like that makes total sense. Now I have a different way or different operating pattern that feels more authentically me versus what the market and social media says that you have to do when raising money, as an example.
I see.
That's what it is.
In essence, had you not read your human design, but had you given yourself license to just feel everything that you feel and flow the way that you flow.
Correct.
You'd arrive at the same point, but it's that permission that's, I don't need to follow the flock. I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's just the big, I'm see if the book is here. No, I'll send you the link later. It was just one of those moments where there were several points in going through this report where it just felt like, I guess I'm saying the same thing. It's just like, this just totally makes sense now. Like, I understand, like, here are the areas where I feel most blocked or most like, is this the right, you know, way to do this? And here's why, essentially. Now I finally have the why and I can do something different. As an example for me, so in their language, call me a projector, as an example, as a profile. And one of the characteristics with this profile is you have to wait for the invitation for, let's say, for opportunities and so forth. Now, that doesn't mean that you just sit back and do nothing. But in my case, for me to go out and just actively, let's say, have a list of 100 companies or something and saying, hey, when's your next meeting? Or do you have an offsite that I can come speak at or so forth? Like, that just sucks the life energy out of my soul. Like, that's make me do that for a week and I am exhausted. Now, the other way to do that I realized is, well, what if I interviewed someone from that organization and genuinely curious to learn, like, what are you up to? Like, an interesting person or whatever it is. Or maybe it's not even doing that and it's just interviewing people and talking about, you know, topics, of course, that then I can, you know, add to and put that out there into the world. And then the invitations come around like, hey, I saw that conversation. You know, so that, like, that's the difference. Instead of just trying to force, in this case, business development through a medium that it just doesn't feel like me. And it's other people, they're the opposite. Like, they get really excited about, you know, trying to figure that whole setup, right? And that came through the report, loud and clear.
You, Thank you for sharing. You used a word, if we had any physicist in the room, that'd be really interesting, because the word force that you used, I think, describes this predicaments that you describe.
Yeah.
Right. And it's, but it also makes complete sense, Mark, that force is not going to get you very far.
Yeah.
Right. And, but I bet you there's a beautiful physics formula to describe that phenomenon.
Yeah. I bet. And yeah, there's so much. There's so many different ways I think you can get at to something like that. But it just, I mean, we've gone on a massive tangent here. But all to say, you should try out to get your human design.
Human design.
I feel like you would enjoy it. Gosh. Okay. What else did I want to ask you about? So, present day. We've talked a lot about the vision and kind of where this is coming from and what, you know, where the inspiration has come from and so forth. But I guess, what are you doing present day to get to that next level? Well, there's two things, I guess, like get to a point where you're ready when we actually can go to space and do something like this. And I don't know, like, are we there or... Not at scale, obviously,
but we're getting there. We have 4 commercial space stations right now slated to orbit our planet within the decade.
Okay.
And from a preparation perspective, so everything that I described or at least scratched the surface on earlier in our conversation, it's happening now, right? The planes fly, the parabolic aircraft are running. So this is not, there's nothing, we're not projecting anything.
Yeah.
This is very real.
So are you then working with teams or organizations to right now to like give them those experiences so that they can feel what that's like?
So from a training perspective, you mean?
Yes, maybe.
So right.
Let's say Salesforce was like, hey, I want to bring the leadership team to have an experience like an artistic experience on one of these planes. Like, could you do that?
Oh, we could do that.
Yeah. Okay.
We could absolutely do that. Craft a unique, immersive, weightless experience aboard the aircraft. This is not our primary business model, at least not right away, right? Meaning, the idea is not to bring people on the flights for them to see this short performance happening on board, though they could be interesting and we can definitely do that because we're training and preparing and doing that minus the audience, right? We're treating the aircraft very much like both a studio space and a stage without an audience, because again, the work is being captured cinematically. And then return to Earth for planetariums, art houses, film festivals, immersive spaces, even I think hotels, right? Like having this big projection of this gorgeous weightless performance and these performers floating about you. That would be stunning. It's almost like a Trojan horse, inspiration and a Trojan horse, I like to describe, right? It's like, this is the entry point. We're seducing you into science and space through just sensational, human-centric and rich content and cinematic content. But going back to at least what I started interpreting from your question, the how do we prepare, but also can people experience? So we also are developing our own training curriculum. Our own altered gravity training curriculum, sort of a space camp, but way cooler because it's really experiential. So
already sounds pretty cool. You're going to space camp. I'm just saying, but anyway, carry on.
I agree. But so we're removing sort of that, the technical and scientific layer a bit, right?
Yeah.
And just really focusing on how do we move effectively in in weightlessness. And so that training comprises of working underwater, movement exploration underwater and float tanks, aerial harness, virtual reality paired with aerial harness work to, you know, better understand how rotations work. And a lot of sensing, a lot of mental work, sort of Blue Angel style.
Okay.
So there's that that's where we're doing, and the idea is we would be piloting an altered gravity camp, a space camp, this year or next year, depending on the timing of our flights and production. But the idea is to really offer this for artists and civilians starting next year.
From the artist standpoint, like what's the demand been like? Are people just super fascinated just by it, the fact that, you know, they may be the first to be trained in this kind of expression and dance and performance? Or is it like, super cool, I want to do this, but it may not lead to anything for who knows how long? Like, right? It's like, it's a interesting thought experiment, but I don't know.
Yes. Just yes. So it's a, it's a great question. Going back to sort of your question mark though, from this artist who's being approached, whether it's going to go anywhere. Again, we're developing this right now, and we're training right now. We're flying right now. So the goal is the next couple of years we're set aboard those parabolic aircrafts until those commercial space stations come online. But that's the idea, is let's bring those experiences on Earth. Let's educate and let's inspire people on Earth. And there's plenty of people to inspire and right, and educate. And while developing content ready for commercial space stations. So once you have the space travelers, you know, hopping on the VAST or Axiom or you name it stations, then there will be live performance or perhaps it's a hybrid performance, right? There's a lot to explore. So I just wanted to clarify this because I know that sometimes, and I do that myself, and I can lose people in the conversation of art and space, and then it becomes sort of this, this lovely vision and idea, but I want to sort of bring us back, land us back on the ground. And this is very, very real. Like, we're doing this.
Yeah. Thank you for clarifying.
Yes. Yes. Going back to, and then your real question was, I think, how do artists react? Like,
Is there a wait list for this?
I love that you're asking. So we haven't put out an official, I've been plucking my people very, very carefully because it requires a little bit of a wild card for this kind of work. And having had my own production company over the years, I've really selected those that, going to do, you know, the misfits. You know, I don't want people who are going to follow the conventions. But you'd be surprised, Mark. In fact, we did ask a few other performers and dancers if they'd be open to be a backup. And some were like, no, space, not at all. No, anything microgravity, no. Like, it's so interesting. I expected yes everywhere. So from I know we have an audience. For sure we have the audience, but not every artist may be as invested or, you know, excited about this idea of working in a weightless environment.
I feel like that makes it even more exciting because then you know, to probably what you've already experienced of like handpicking artists at this point, that you really have to find the right ones, but then the right ones are the right ones, you know, and then that makes all the difference, right? Oh gosh, I'm just realizing how fast time is going here because I want to ask you just a couple more questions as I want to respect
your time.
But wait,
sorry, I have to interrupt you. Mark,
go.
Because I never acknowledge my team by their names, and I'd like to acknowledge them by their names now. Can I do that, please?
You can, yes.
Okay, great. Amazing. So Luis Alberto Cuevas is our choreographic lead and performance researcher. Gabilla Virina is our performance researcher, extraordinary performer and stylist. Enrique Villacreses is our cinematographer, a backup performer and wild card of a performer and also choreographer. Octavio Campos is our human readiness director. We have Eugene Duvenage, who's our bioastronautics officer.
Any of these titles.
Adam Dippert, who is our embodied gravity director. And then we have also mighty partners, but I won't, you know,
Sure.
O Cinema, Live Arts Miami, Miami Light Project, Creativity America, and most recently the Stephen Hawking Center for Microgravity Research. There, I've plugged it because I feel like sometimes in conversations,
important.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. The question I have for you, though, just to kind of start to close. When is your mind most quiet and able to dream and think and see, you know, the clearest path forward?
Right before I go to bed, I have this very quieting, almost, I don't meditate, but that is my meditation, where I visualize the outcome I want. I visualize the next day. Sometimes I visualize it to every almost action step, you know. The same process happens right when I wake up.
Okay.
And then there's a lull in the middle of the day where I just like, you know, this drop of energy. And sometimes I'll watch a show, which is probably the wrong thing to do. More screen time. It's so wrong. But it works. And it's, I think, distracting my brain with some external noise that I choose, right? Knowing that my subconscious is, I don't need to make sense of it. I know that the subconscious is processing and puzzling things out and just trusting that.
Yes. I love that. So and I love that you do it before you go to sleep, which then, of course, when you go to sleep, your mind's still actually working on, you know, putting the puzzle pieces together and so forth. And you wake up and do the same thing. It's a beautiful way to start the day. And then when you're super, if you get something that really stresses you out and like you can't, like do you have any non-negotiable practices or activities or rituals that allow you to pause that or release whatever that pressure is so you can get back into like the optimal state of operating for you?
I equate this, you know, when I can't make a decision, when I don't know what to do, or when I feel so overwhelmed that I literally have way too many to-dos and I'm spending time figuring out which thing to do first.
Yeah.
And I'm completely paralyzed. And it's like, and this is when I'm like, I step away. I just step away. Because that means that I am not ready to make a decision. That means that I actually need to figure out which thing to do first. And I haven't figured it out. And it's okay. Right? So I don't verbally say, give yourself permission, Natasha, but I think it's almost like instinctual at this point.
Sure.
I just know, okay, nothing is clear right now. Let's step away. Maybe let's go hug Lua, my favorite feline friend.
Yeah.
And she is very comforting. And yeah.
Amazing. Thank you. Tasha, thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for being you. Thank you for just everything that you're doing and putting into this world. And of course that includes you and the team and all the partners behind the work. I mean, I don't want to continue to say the same thing, but I do think it's important. Like this is such important work in not just our lifetime, but many, you know, many years, long after we're passed. And I don't know, you know, what realm, what energy we show up in, but I'm excited to see like the next 100 years of like where all this goes. You know, yes. I'm excited to see what happens in the next 10, frankly, but it just seems like it seems so inspiring and it feels so inspiring to be to know you, that you're working on this, that like there's just so much impact that this can have for society and not just ours present day. Like, that's so cool. It's so cool. So thank you for doing that. And any final parting words for us? I mean, the floor is yours, of course.
Oh, Mark. Well, thank you for your grace and graciousness and holding the space so fluidly and calmly and with the most beautiful energy. So, and thank you for inviting me to be part of Behind the Human. My parting thoughts is, yes, here's to the cultural flourishing of, yes, of future stories, of our stories. And we are literally, we're standing at the edge of the greatest expansion in human history. And culture has to be on board. So here's to that.
Here's to flourishing.